We love seeing how God works through family life to bring hope to families.
And we cannot do this without you. Every gift helps us reach another home with the gospel. So would you consider partnering with us?
Just visit familylifetoday.com or call 800-FL-TODAY. That's F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today.
If church is just for polishing up our outward appearance, I'm done.
Yeah,
I have no time
too.
For that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If church is for people with needs and people with questions and people with failures and embarrassments and brokenness, sign me up.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
So we've got Ray, and you know what's even better? We got Jannie Ortlund back.
Yes. So much better.
It's always good to have both.
Jannie is, I said it to her this morning when we were on our way over here. She's the secret weapon here. Because she has an authenticity. Mm. Here's something about Jannie. Jannie loves with a whole heart. Mm. She doesn't hold back.
Yeah.
And that is Jannie's superpower.
Mm.
And it's irresistible.
Ah. I see that in her.
Yeah. You're amazing, honey.
Now, you promised me we could cut things from this program
yeah.
that I didn't like.
We're not cutting that.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You're keeping
it. I married almost the same woman. She's the same way.
But Ray, I will say this. We had you on. We brought another guest on that happened to be there that day.
Yeah, Gary Kell.
Yeah.
But you looked at him and your words of life.
Well, first of all, you said, I don't want to do this interview without Garrett. Bring Garrett in here. And we're like, what? We already talked to Garrett. No, bring him in. So he sat in the studio with us and then you blessed him.
With your words. And I think I see you do this all the time with people.
Oh.
And
he
you
does.
Said, you are a magnificent man. Mm. I just wept as you said it because I thought, we don't hear that from men speaking life into men. Mm. And having three sons, that impacted me. Mm. And I thought, we need to do that more.
Yes.
All of us, not just Dave and I, all of us need to speak life into people.
Yeah.
But today we're talking about a different book.
I want to read a quote from this book.
Okay.
And we'll tell the title in a minute. But you open up. And I mean, I thought, I don't think I've ever read this in a book. It's so honest. It said, you don't need to go looking for it. Sooner or later, it comes and finds you. Something horrible, some experience unforeseeable and even unimaginable. And the reality you always understood to be your life, suddenly that life is gone for good. There are many ways to hit rock bottom, but everyone goes there. Mm. That's not how you write books and sell books. People don't want to hear that. They're like, I don't want to hear about rock bottom.
No.
I want to hear about the mountaintop. But when I read that, I'm like, that is so accurate and true.
Well, we wish it weren't true.
Yeah. Right?
You think everybody really does?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know anyone who hasn't?
No.
Know them up close?
No, I don't. If you've lived long enough, you have hit rock bottom.
In this world, with people made of the stuff we're made of, rock bottom is inevitable. Mm. And the Bible addresses us right there. The Bible is the most realistic book in the world. This is not starry-eyed idealism between these two covers.
Right.
This is a book for people who have hit rock bottom and are wondering, is my life over even though my heart is still beating?
Mm.
Mm. We're the people God wants to have a conversation with.
Yeah.
And he's not going to chew us out. He wants to give us hope.
Yeah. The book title is Good News at Rock Bottom. Find a guy when the pain goes deep and hope seems lost. Mm. That's a lot of people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm so thinking of my honest mom and dad. They were married 72 years and they had a pretty amazing life. But then my sister died.
Oh.
That was rock bottom. Mm-hmm. Our best friends. They've had a pretty incredible, wonderful life.
Yeah.
But he's sick right now. Mm-hmm. You know, he has cancer. So we all face it. Every single person could relate to or could read this book and really get something out of it.
So how do we find God at rock bottom?
Well, there's a verse in Isaiah that I kind of riff off of. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. So God is way out there. Mm. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Mm. So God has two addresses, way up high where we can't go and way down low where we can go. But God doesn't dwell in what I call the mushy middle, which is where most people want to live.
Yeah.
You know, we're from Nashville and U-Hauls are just lining up. Everybody's moving to Nashville because job opportunities are there. And it really is a great city.
And that's where you guys live.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And pastor.
Right. And even churches can cater to the mushy middle. Mm. So if my life, let's say my life is on a scale of 1 to 10, let's say it's 6, but I really want to upgrade it to 7 or 8, maybe even more. What am I going to do? I'm going to arrange my reality. I'm going to get a career track that's going to take me from 6 to 7. I'm going to go to live in a neighborhood. I'm going to go to a church and so forth. So I build this reality inside the mushy middle that's going to help me idealize my mushy middle designer life. There's only one problem with that MO for living life, navigating reality. The problem is God doesn't dwell there. He is everywhere, but he's not present in the same way everywhere. Mm-hmm. God is harder to find in the mushy middle, easy to find at rock bottom, and easy to find way up in the high and holy place. I didn't even realize this. I didn't have a category for this until my mushy middle life hit rock bottom. I had to rethink everything from the foundations. I'd always thought, God loves me. Cool. My parents taught me that. My Sunday school teachers taught me that. Jenny and I have believed that. And then some things happened I don't need to go into. But for the first time in my life, I felt conscience-bound to ask a new question. Have I been wrong? Is the truth of my existence that God hates my guts? That would explain everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking Berlin in 1945, just smoking, bombed out rubble. There's my life. If God hates me, that explains it. But eventually I figured out, no, I was right the first time. God really does love me.
I'm glad you came to that conclusion. Yeah.
And guys, I didn't get myself from that despair to now I actually feel loved by God. I didn't get myself from there to here. I didn't think my way from there to here. I didn't theologize my way from there to here. God didn't let me go. Mm. Janny didn't let me go. And at rock bottom, I discovered he is there. And you know who else is down there at rock bottom? Not only is Jesus there, the best people in all the world are down there at rock bottom.
But we assume that they're not.
Yeah.
We don't think they've ever been there.
And then we find out it's both worse and better than we think. You know, Dave, you've described some of the hardships that you've been through. Now, when you talk about that, something inside me moves toward you. Mm. I'm thinking, he gets it. This man is an ally. He's not out for himself. He's one of us.
He's been there.
He's been there.
Yeah.
So I discovered Jesus at a deeper level at rock bottom. I found a whole bunch of awesome new friends at rock bottom. And that experience brought to me hope and even a kind of defiant hope.
What do you mean by that?
Thank you for pressing me with that question, because that...
I don't like it when she presses me with her questions. I'm glad you like it.
It's sort of like I taunted that me. Mm. It's like, you know, I just don't believe you anymore. The me I used to be. I don't want you anymore. I'm done with you. I like this new me down here with these awesome people, and with Jesus right in the center of it all. I am really digging this. I love this. I don't want to be anywhere else. So I'm not in this, at the same level of intense crisis personally right now that I was when I hit rock bottom, but I identify with it permanently. And
like, you don't want to lose what you found at the bottom.
Never. Oh, I wouldn't go back to the mushy middle for all the money in the world.
Yeah.
God changed him at rock bottom.
Yeah.
He knows how to encourage those at rock bottom because he's walked there himself. God revived him there. I think your verse talks about, and to revive the heart of the contrite. So I've seen in his own life what a good thing God did at rock bottom.
It makes me think of your pastor. I'm a pastor. Growing up around the church, my mom sort of made me, took me to church. She believed in that God. I never saw rock bottom at church. All you saw at church were people that had it all together. Yeah. I always felt like we are really misfits here. I don't have a dad. Everybody else has a dad. They're all smiling. I'm sort of angry and down. I never saw that or experienced that because everybody covered it up. Now I know they all had it.
Oh, yeah.
They were all living rock bottom lives.
Yeah.
They just covered it up. And so when I started church, I remember that was one of my first goals. Is like, we will be a place where rock bottom is talked about and you don't have to put on masks. I remember said I want to put a thing on the front of our church, no mask allowed. You know, like, let's be honest and real. There's victory. And what you said earlier is when people are struggling, you lean toward them. You don't lean away.
True.
I think that's what draws us to Jesus. Yeah. Yes, his resurrection and his victory. But we can relate to a man who suffered horribly. And we're like, I'm drawn to that man.
Misunderstood, betrayed.
Yes. Humiliated.
So talk about that in terms of community. Is that what the church should be? Well, and by the way, that's what family ministry and marriage ministry that we are a part of should be as well. Well, like, I can understand and connect with those that ministry because they understand rock bottom.
Yeah, it's in this verse, Dave, Isaiah 57:15, to revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite. Contrite means crushed and broken. And those words are plural in the Hebrew text, the original text. Mm. It's talking about a whole group of people. So I love what you just said about the church that you planted. Mm-hmm. We made that same purpose at Emmanuel. We cherished and revered that same purpose. Mm. We want this church to be, in the best sense, a safe place where people can talk about what's really going on and how they're not doing well. Instead of polishing up, if church is just for polishing up our outward appearance, I'm done.
Yeah,
I have no time for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If church is for people with needs and people with questions and people with failures and embarrassments and brokenness, sign me up.
Yeah.
I can't wait to be there.
Yeah.
I want to be there this Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think that is exactly what this verse is talking
about. Yeah, I agree.
When you're married to someone, you're one. So you feel all the things your spouse feels. So if your spouse is at rock bottom, and even right now you have a spouse that maybe is an incredible, like, depression or anxiety or sickness, how do we minister to them as a spouse when they're at rock bottom?
Jenny, you absolutely did that for me.
Oh. How did I do it? Answer the question for me.
You trusted God when I wasn't able to.
You have to be able to look beyond rock bottom.
Kind of the circumstances that you're in?
Yes. Yeah. To the one who truly is high and lifted up, and to whom you belong and to whom you will go someday. We're on a pathway. And this pathway right now has a deep, dark hole in it, but it's not the end.
Yeah.
So can I hold your hand while we walk through this together? And maybe I'll just keep pulling you until we get to the end. That kind of...
Your hope is in Jesus. And when your spouse is struggling to even find hope, you're kind of reminding them of who he is. And you're just going to, you're going to do it for them at the time.
In a sense, you have to be careful, I think, not to be lighthearted. You know, you really have to be careful to empathize, to understand, because you are suffering as well.
Absolutely.
When you see your loved one weeping, you weep with them.
Yeah,
that's good.
But you also say, I know there is an end to the tears and we're going to make it. And I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to, Ray has a nickname for me. We won't put on the radio, but it.
Yeah, it really describes her. She's.
I'm not going to let you go.
You got everybody wanting to know what it is.
Well, they can listen next time.
It rhymes with.
This woman is a warrior.
She's a warrior.
Yeah.
But you have to be at rock bottom.
Yeah.
Or else you'll just stay there and wallow in the mud.
I mean, sometimes you have to crawl out.
Yeah. That's what it means to be the helper suitable. The Azer Kaneko.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
She is the warrior.
That's a great point.
Who stands beside, stands in front of, stands toe-to-toe. Mm-hmm. That's a warrior.
I'd not thought of this before, honey. One of the most important ways you helped me was patience. Not just patience with me, though you were showing a lot of patience with me, but patience with how God was leading us, how God was orchestrating our life, mm-hmm. how God was getting us from step one to step two to step three every day by day. You patiently trusted God. You didn't freak out and panic. And that really helped me.
Well, good to know.
That is of the Lord. You know, isn't he so kind?
Yes.
Two are better than one.
Yeah. I mean, Ray, how did you...
Come on, you've got to give us a taste of the what happened.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how did you as a pastor... Because you, often you think pastors don't hit rock bottom. They have a faith and trust, and they're men and women of the word. I've hit rock bottom. I've felt betrayal in ways I've never experienced that I thought I would never feel in ministry from ministry people.
Yes.
How'd you get there?
Exact same thing.
Really?
Yeah. Betrayal is the category. And
it's your second chapter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My life was too good for too long.
Was that the mushy middle?
Yes. And it was not until I was in my 50s that betrayal paid a visit and robbed me of almost everything I'd been living for all my adult life. Took it away wrongly. That was when I finally had this realization, oh, so this is what like half the human race is going through right now.
Yeah.
I walk through a neighborhood and I see these lovely homes and so forth. It's a great neighborhood. Behind those closed doors are people who are suffering.
Yep.
People driving by in their cars. Half of them on any given day, at some point in the day, will have a thought like this. What has happened to my life? I used to have a life. Now I'm stuck with this. What is the point? Do I have anything to look forward to anymore? Do I have a future worth getting excited about? Or is the good of my life now in the past?
Even the question, are you a good God?
Yes.
We sing about it, but are you?
That's right. Now, I came to, I finally realized that's what people are bringing into church.
Yeah.
And I want so deeply want to care for them. I want to reassure them. I want to put my arms around them. Let's put our anguish right out on the table. And let Jesus be our only savior in this church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're deeply disappointed and brokenhearted and wondering if you have a future, this is the church for you.
Yeah. And you're not alone.
Oh, you're so, this is where you're not alone anymore.
Yeah.
All week long, we have to put on this happy face.
Yeah.
Then Sunday morning, we come to church and we can finally be real. I love that.
That's church.
Yes.
That's community, because it's the opposite. You know, we go to a restaurant or a bar and we share our sorrows and we go to church and we hide.
Mm-hmm. You know, show Cheers, remember?
Yeah,
everybody knows your name.
Yeah,
you can be who you are.
Struggling.
What if church was like that?
We put up a phrase in our green room at our church. Actually, no, it's in the hallway as you walk onto the stage. So our musicians see it, our worship leaders see it, the pastor sees it. And it said this, never underestimate the pain in the room.
Oh, my.
It was just a reminder.
So wise.
There is pain that you're preaching to today.
And
probably in every pew, every seat, there's heartache.
And God that's feels it.
Yeah.
And God cares.
Don't underestimate that.
Yeah.
And you tend to do that.
I found on the website of a church in Philadelphia, a call to worship from centuries ago. And I thought, this is so great. So we stole it. And used a manual. And it was very simple. So I walk up there at the beginning of the service, sometimes I have to ask the Lord to help me hold it together emotionally. Mm. So I just stand there and I don't put on this chipper sort of show. That drives me nuts.
Yeah.
So I stand there and I look the people in the eye and I say to them tenderly, to all who are weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and sin again and need a Savior, This church opens wide her doors with a welcome from Jesus. Welcome to church.
Do you say that every day, every Sunday?
Yes.
Oh, and my goodness. We need to steal that.
We're stealing it.
That is so good.
A friend of mine said he risked getting a ticket speeding to church because he had to hear that.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's opposite from the world.
Yeah.
It's an old Christian tradition. We painted the outside doors of the church red because we come into the church through the blood of Christ. Mm. Out in that social environment all week long, we're never complete. We never belong. We're always on the outside trying to earn our way in. Mm. Then we come to church through the finished work of Christ on the cross. We walk into completeness, acceptance, forgiveness, hope through his blood. This is a different social reality, and we're going to enjoy it to the hilt.
That's awesome. So, I'm sitting here thinking, your church just grew by 1,000 people in Nashville. They're looking
for the viewers.
They're like, I'm going to that church.
I know.
Who wouldn't want to be a part of that community? Mm.
Yeah. That's the beauty of the gospel.
Exactly. Yes.
And that's what's so compelling. And yet we've distorted it and messed it up and shined it up. But that is, we walk through the blood of Christ first.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so good.
So there's good news at Rock Bottom. And really, I don't know where else we're going to find it.
Yeah. Here's how I think we should end. There's people listening who are at rock bottom. Yeah, what a day for them. I think maybe, would you pray for them?
Yeah, I would love to.
You know, it's interesting as we sit here, there's a mom on the other side of that window whose daughter's going to get a heart transplant. Mm. Maybe in the next couple weeks, maybe a month. Mm. She's sitting right over there. She's our boss. And I know, you know, that's a valley, man.
Mm. Yeah. Yes.
My daughter's just a young little girl.
13.
You know? Oh. And so to think about that at that age and being a mom and dad to walk through that, pray for them, pray for anybody that's listening, you know.
Yeah.
We know.
And let me add, I want us all to read this book. We've got chapters on betrayal, being lonely, dying. I mean, this is the stuff that we're living through.
Yeah.
And besides God's word, it helps sometimes to have someone else's perspective that's been at rock bottom that can remind us who God is and how faithful he is.
Yeah. I'd love to pray. Lord, you've called us to walk through this world trusting in you one step at a time, and it's not easy. Mm. It wasn't easy for you when you were here. It was even harder because we compromise, we cave. You never did. And we need you right now more than ever.
Yes.
And we put our trust in you. We look to you. Lord, we need strength moment by moment today. And then we're going to need it all over again tomorrow. And then the day after that. And we are trusting you, Lord, that whatever body slams us, you understand. You feel it. You are with us. And you're going to get us through this. Lord, we praise your holy name. Thank you for absorbing our pain into your own heart. Mm-hmm. Thank you for not standing aloof. Thank you for coming down as our ally. Lord, we do trust you. Help us to trust you 5 minutes from now. And then 5 minutes after that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're down before you in complete need. We receive your promises. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, so good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You can get this book. Go to familylifetoday.com. Click on the link in the show notes. Good news at rock bottom.
It is good news.
If you don't need it now, you'll need it tomorrow.
Hey, thanks for listening to Family Life Today, and happy holidays.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.